Rebels.
Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors who like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
Thank you for joining our independent podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We're on Zoom. We're in different places.
Yes. Yes. So
I have a lot of room on my desk without you crammed in next to me.
Crammed next to you.
I'm luxuriously spreading all my items out.
Enjoying the space.
You're drinking a weird white beer.
It's Dragon's Milk.
I like the name.
Yeah, it's a white stout, bourbon barrel aged.
How is it drinking from the teat of a dragon?
It's quite nourishing and very smooth.
How is beer white? How does that happen?
I would say it's more like if you pictured like a ginger ale color.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's not like milk.
No, I don't think I'd drink it if it looked like milk.
That's what I was picturing this whole time when you said it was like white beer.
Yeah, no. Oh, well, check-ins.
It's nice to see you.
I know. It's good to see you too. We just spent, an hour figuring out tech troubleshooting issues.
Troubleshooting, but we figured it out.
We did. It obviously was the easiest solution that worked last, but we got it.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you have?
I mean, I'm sure you've seen in the news about Britney Spears. I feel like I have to close the loop on it.
Please do. Yes.
That she did get the conservatorship closed with her dad. So snaps for Britney.
I'm interested to see what happens next. I mean, I feel like I'm invested now in this story.
Yeah, it's very interesting to kind of see how much people are invested in it. There's a lot. It should be interesting. That's all though.
Would you be interested in a future podcast of hearing little excerpts from my little diary from when I was a young teenager?
More than anything. Okay. That sounds amazing.
I've been going through an emotional turmoil reading this thing.
I bet.
And there's parts I'm like, I'm not reading this part. Like, it's too much.
We could have a read your journal episode.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know I had this thing in my possession all this time.
That's awesome.
The things you find.
Great. Well, now
clean out your basement.
Now I want to share my journal.
You find yours. Okay. Mine starts right before I turn 13 and then it ends when I'm like 16-ish. I mean, there's like big gaps though. It's like, I don't write anything for 6 months. So it's not like a fat journal. It's one of those thin composition books.
I don't, honestly, people will, I think it's a myth that people journal regularly because every journal I have has like the first, I get passionate for the first week and then that's it.
Yeah, I was into it, but I mean, I haven't journaled in a long time. Mm-hmm. I think that like it serves a certain purpose and then that purpose maybe isn't there. And then also I'm like, who's going to accidentally discover this and see my soul bared?
Mm-hmm. Your bared soul.
Yeah, nobody wants a bared soul. I mean, maybe some people do if their soul is shiny, but my soul is pretty.
You need to keep that soul covered.
Soiled. I have a soiled soul.
You're like when friends come over and you have stains on your couch, you like pull the sheet or blanket over. Like,
Not just in my home, in the counseling office. There's that little wine stain that I always put the like weighted blanket over.
the really classy thing to have on your counseling couch.
I mean, really, the takeaway is don't have light furniture. That's like my biggest lesson in life.
Yes, you've had a run-in with white outfits and white clothes.
I know. I'm gonna staining. Just like reach away for a second.
Hey, you're doing some weird body positioning right now.
I need to reach like 3 feet away.
You're doing the Thriller.
Oh my god, I was doing the Thriller.
You were doing the Thriller.
Okay, because I forgot to bring our disturbometer over.
Okay, awesome.
And I actually wanted to show you this diary.
Ooh, this looks so scary. That matches your Victorian boots.
This is where it all happens. This is like everything in here.
It looks like everything.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So next time I'll select an excerpt.
That's a, it looks scary.
The front of it says Dear Diary. See that?
I don't know where you think you're holding that up in the camera, but it's not.
Well, it's blue ink on blue ink.
Oh, I see. Oh, you wrote Dear Diary.
I wrote it. Yes, because this, I found this in the garage. I learned that while I was reading this, that I found this thing in the garage and it was somebody else's. And it has like all these like data, like math stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, which is not mine. Somebody with very nice penmanship.
Very great penmanship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I co-opted this thing.
That's nice. A good.
And I don't recognize that writing, so I have no idea
Who
owned that. It's not like my mom's or anybody. So it's weird. But whatever.
That is weird. Yeah, no, we'll definitely have to read your journal.
All right. It's going to be getting to know Naomi a little bit.
I'm ready to have another debrief after a podcast.
Okay, sounds good. That's all I've got.
Okay, cool.
Except that my turtleneck is too tight.
Oh my gosh, I'm wearing a turtlenecky.
Oh my god,
too.
We're both wearing turtlenecks.
I hate mine turtlenecks. Too tight. I don't like have
all
a
day.
Long
I've been
neck.
Like stretching it out, like doing this,
like but making it an anti-turtle.
It's too strangly.
It looks a little strangly.
I need to turn it into a cowl neck somehow.
A cowl. So I think in all of that chaos, I managed to close out my information about my topic. I think I go second, though.
Oh, well. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Okay. I'm so ready.
I need to do a split screen situation here so I can see okay. you and my thing. Okay. Do you know what a zoot suit is?
Oh, I've heard the words. I don't know what it is, though.
Okay. Google it for a second. See, we're not in the same room, so I can't just turn my laptop
Zoot
around and
suit.
Show you photos. Z-O-O-T, suit.
Oh.
I'm going to talk about.
Okay, so it's like, this is instantly bringing a movie to my mind. Was that like Cool Cat?
Cool Cat.
No, it's called
I think Jim Carrey might have worn a Zoot suit in The Mask.
Oh, probably The Mask, yeah. Cool City, Cool something. I don't
know. Cool Cats, maybe.
Is that a movie? Do you know what Cool Cats is? Is that
no? I was just. I was just.
Cool World.
Cool World. I don't think I've seen that. Do they wear suits in Cool World?
It kind of like it goes from like the real world to a cartoon world, and it's kind of that era of clothing.
Oh, yeah. Like the Jessica Rabbit kind of thing
style. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, I'm going to talk about the Zoot Suit Riots.
Okay.
So, did you ever see the movie American Me?
No.
Well, the opening scene depicts the Zoot Suit Riots. So, American Me is a brutal story that is a fictitious version of like the Mexican mafia and prison life.
Okay.
And it's actually... I'm going to do a future topic because it was like this topic led into that. And then that was like a whole thing in itself. So
I've never even heard of that before.
Super intense movie. It was like back in the 90s, I believe that it came out.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Zoot Suit Riots are depicted in the opening scene of that movie. So they occurred from June 3rd to June 8th in 1943. And these were a series of racially motivated attacks on young Latino and Mexican Americans who were residents of Los Angeles.
Okay.
So a brief history of Los Angeles. I thought this was interesting. I'd never really learned about this, or I probably did and just don't remember anything about it. So earlier, before these attacks in 1781... So a while earlier, Los Angeles had been called El Pueblo de la Reina de Los Angeles, which translates to the town of the Queen of Angels. Ooh. So it was called Los Angeles for a long, long time.
Okay.
And the settlement was part of Spain's plan to colonize California. The original residents were 44 pioneers from Spanish Mexico and included people of Spanish, Mexican, American Indian, and African descent. So California as a whole was ruled by Spain until 1822, when Mexico assumed jurisdiction. After a two-year period of hostilities with Mexico, the area came under U.S. control. And in 1848, Los Angeles and the rest of California was added to American territory. So 1848, that's less than 100 years later.
Okay.
Now, the descendants of the original residents of Los Angeles mm-hmm. were looked at as if they didn't belong. And I would say that still occurs.
So I would say that's it's
not just in California, but
standard
yeah.
for a lot of places
and other places in the US. Mm-hmm. So that was just very interesting just to kind of
give it
context with the history. So the Zoot Suit. So you looked it up.
Zoot Suit Riot. Isn't that a song?
That is by the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. That was another 90s moment.
Okay.
That was during that whole like swing dance revival.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal. So the Zoot Suit was the style and the essence of like LA cool, like young people cool at the time. Mm-hmm. So it has those oversized pants. They're super high waisted, super baggy in the legs, but then like they come in at the ankles tapered, and then those long coats.
They kind of look like Hammer pants a bit, like the MC Hammer?
Thing? Yeah, I heard that like that look kind of evolved from
Did
the
it?
Zoot
okay,
Suit look.
Okay.
Yeah. So this look grew out of the suits that were popular in Harlem dance halls in the 1930s. And they were mm-hmm. popularized by jazz singers like Cab Calloway and Duke Ellington.
Mm-hmm.
And a young Malcolm X even wore a Zoot Suit when he was a teen. So the Mexican-American boys in L.A. would get dressed up, you know, to the nines, take out their ladies to the jazz clubs. And there was a lot of pride in their clothing. And
they look super fancy. Super fancy, sharp. Like, well put together.
Yeah, and the ladies had their own look at the time that was very, like, well put together. It was, like, kind of the tight, like, short skirts and, like, the tight sweaters and the hair was kind of like poofed up in the front, nice makeup. I mean,
oh yeah,
I'm very jealous of as somebody
that too here of that. Yeah.
Somebody that can never ever do eye makeup to save my life. It's like a good look.
A lot of variety in colors that I'm seeing. I don't know if that's just more modern takes on it or not, but like blues and reds, yellows.
Yeah. So it was a sharp look, and it wasn't just Mexican Americans wearing the Zoot Suits. The style of clothing was popular with Black people, Italian American, Jewish American, and Filipino American in the 40s. So the Zoot Suit riots involved the Pachucos, and this was a term that meant kind of like punk. It was like that kind of like young, like
okay.
juvenile delinquent type of term.
Youngins.
And so the parents of the young people at the time, you know, they thought this clothing was kind of outrageous and were worried about their children becoming pachucos. And this was what the urban Mexican American youth called themselves. So it was pachucos for boys, pachucos for girls. And for white Los Angeles, seeing any kid walking down the streets of LA in a Zoot Suit, like they automatically would just assume they were pachucos. That, you know, that meant they were like troubled. They were
sounds
defiant,
like some older deviant. Generations having a problem with people having fun.
And I watched this documentary that wasn't that long ago. It was maybe like 20 years ago. And there's this white lady talking about how, you know, she would see these pachucos coming down the sidewalk five wide and just felt like she had to like step, you know, to the other side of the street or whatever. I mean, it was just so full of like fucking bias, like left and right. Yeah. So this, the Pachucos were seen as deviant by like the white society. At this time, Los Angeles was segregated, which I didn't know. So that was interesting to learn. So there was areas where it was like no Mexicans allowed, whites only, which I was like shocked that that was occurring. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm continually shocked when I learn these things. So the Mexican-Americans' families lived in close traditional communities called barrios. And if I knew how to roll my R's better, I would be pronouncing that better. Rolling my R's.
I thought about it.
And the white Los Angelans really expected them to stay there. And so there was tensions raised also at this time. So you have this segregated society. The Pachucos, you know, the young people, they're like, we're stepping out. You know, we're going to walk around and go to jazz clubs and live our life. So this is 1943, World War II time. So also in LA was the presence of 50,000 sailors that were waiting to be shipped off. So they were from all over the country. LA is a port city, waiting to be shipped out to fight either the Japanese or the Germans, going to the Pacific Islands.
My sister's in the Navy. I know what that crowd's like.
So they were super pumped up. Like, they're done with boot camp. They're
rowdy.
They're rowdy. They're ready. This might be their last time to really like.
They swear a lot.
Let loose and drink and have all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So the fights were breaking out between the Mexican-American teenagers and the sailors. And just things started to escalate. Now let's talk about a murder. On the night of August 1st, 1942, there was a murder. Jose Diaz, a 22-year-old farm worker, was stabbed and left to die on his way home from a birthday party. That same night, several couples from LA's 38th Street neighborhood arrived at a place called Sleepy Lagoon. So by day, Sleepy Lagoon was a reservoir that was a swimming hole for the Mexican Americans who weren't allowed to go to the city pools because of the segregation. And by night, it was a hot spot for romance.
Wow.
So you'd go take your date to the Sleepy Lagoon, go hook up, do some smooching, maybe more than smooching.
More than sleeping.
Nobody is sleepy at the lagoon.
No.
So Hank Lavis and his girlfriend were sitting in their car under a full moon around midnight when they were suddenly attacked by a group of boys from a rival neighborhood. Later that night, Hank returned to 38th Street, got about 30 of his friends, boys and girls, and headed back to Sleepy Lagoon for revenge. And so this aspect that the girls were involved too, just as much, like, I think people the outside of the culture and the society just didn't really understand that because gender roles were very different. And here the girls are fighting just as much as the boys. They're like tough involved. After finding the lagoon deserted, so they weren't able to get their revenge, they headed to the birthday party that Jose Diaz had went to. So Jose had already left the party 10 minutes earlier before this group of about 30 kids arrived that were from 38th Street. And at the party, there was a brutal fight. And then later that night, Jose Diaz was found in the middle of the dirt road. He was rushed to the hospital by his brother, but died soon after arriving, and he never regained consciousness. So Jose's death certificate and autopsy give the cause of death as a contusion of the brain and subdural hemorrhage due to a basal fracture of the skull. He had cuts, bruises, and swelling on his head and hands. He had been stabbed twice, and a finger on his left hand was broken.
Ow.
Jose was said to be drunk at the time of his death, but the doctor who testified would not testify that Jose was drunk. And one medical examiner stated he thought Jose's injuries were consistent with being hit by a car.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Get the picture. He's like found out there. Oh, you're sharing a zoot suit picture with me.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the look. It's fancy, right?
Yeah, it is.
Fancy schmancy. Okay. Is that a mosaic?
Yeah, it was kind of like an art picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
So rather than investigate, the police arrested Hank Lavis and 20 other members of the Mexican American community.
Okay.
During the interrogation, many of the men, some of whom were minors, were beaten and threatened to give confessions.
Ugh.
They weren't allowed to shower. So they're picked up like after this fight.
Yeah.
So they're rough looking, right? Dirty, beat up, yeah, hair messed up.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to get haircuts or change their clothes prior to their court appearance, even though it was requested. Because
it's going to create all sorts prosecutors of bias.
Were like, yeah, like that's the way they are. Like, mm-hmm. that's the way they're going to appear. And then their girlfriends were also interrogated and threatened. Did you find a picture of the girls? Is there a way for me to share?
Yeah, you can. Oh, here, let me. I can. Yeah.
How do I share?
Yeah. Hold on one sec.
I'll show you this picture.
Okay.
Next time I'll like have it prepared where I have some like pictures.
Kudos. Yeah, now that we know that we can do that.
Yeah. Can you see that picture?
Yes.
So that's some of the girlfriends.
This actually works well. Like we can do this next time because it shows up.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
So, I mean, these girls look like my friends I had in California. So tough. Beautiful girls. The Los Angeles police used this murder to launch a widespread attack on what they perceived as an unruly and rapidly multiplying Mexican-American delinquent youth element.
Element?
An element, yes.
I want to be called an element by somebody. That sounds great.
And the press would identify Jose and his assailants as gang members. This substantiated the belief of white Los Angeles that Mexican American kids were basically public enemy
hooligans. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Many people say the murder was not gang related. However, this is out to question. Mm-hmm. The area where the kids came from, the 38th Street area, there is a 38th Street gang, and it's one of the oldest gangs in LA, and it's occupied its territory since the 1920s. So I wrote notes, perhaps a deep dive for another day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I'll link that to that American Me topic.
Awesome. So did you say it was on his birthday?
No, he went to a birthday party.
Oh, speaking of, happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Macy's dad. Papa Womb Punch. Woo, woo, woo.
All right, sorry. I didn't know where else to interject that other than
the
night of a murder at a birthday party.
Fitting.
Fitting, yes.
17 young men were found guilty. Hank was sentenced to life. The boys were sent to San Quentin, which is a major prison. Major prison.
It's a major, yes, absolutely. I mean,
Charlie Manson was there for a time.
Yeah.
The girls had refused to testify against their boyfriends and were taken from their families and made wards of the state.
Okay.
Yeah. And some of them had kids, so they were taken away from their children. They were sent to an infamous reform school called the Ventura School for Girls. And in my research, it said like this place rivaled prison. It was so bad. Oh. It was like a correctional reform school for girls. And it was so terrible that the girls would swallow safety pins rather than go.
Wow.
So one of the girls involved, Lorena Encinas, she had been at the birthday party the night in question, and she never divulged what she knew about the murder of Jose Diaz. She did finally reveal her secret about what really happened at Sleepy Lagoon to her children on her deathbed in 1991.
What? Secrets? Secrets?
Yes. So she, I mean, we talked about that code, you know, you don't rat.
No.
You don't snitch. So that was a strong presence even back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the 40s, shall we?
Let's shall.
Now the Pachucos have been identified as this problem to society.
Uh-huh.
And skirmishes between sailors and zoot suiters are going on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
On June 3rd, 1943, the city exploded into a huge fight. A sailor's jaw was broken in this fight. And there was multiple people involved in these fights. It was like a whole bunch of sailors, a whole bunch of Pachucos. Oh, look at you fancy with your logo behind you.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Which one did you like better, that one or the black one?
I could. It just looks black.
Oh,
so I don't see anything. Yeah, so that one's probably better. And it matches your hair.
It does. That's why I didn't do the red one. I figured I would just absolve
it. And my hair matches my turtleneck exactly.
Because I'm going to send it to you. Keep going.
Okay, thank you. So a sailor's jaw was broken during this. And so his sailor buddies dragged him back to the armory. And then later that same night, a group of sailors were hell-bent on revenge. They armed themselves with gun belts and clubs and headed downtown. The Zoot Suit Riots had begun.
Wow. Okay. I never knew that song had anything like actual real to do with anything.
I know, right? You see how smart we are becoming because of this podcast?
I have learned so much. I mean, I don't know if I'd go as far as saying smart, but like, I feel like I might actually do decent at a trivia somewhere.
Trivia night?
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
I'm in. I've never done decent at them, but I feel like we would have a better chance now.
I agree. Yeah.
At least the disturbing things category.
I'm bad too with trivia. Maybe we shouldn't do trivia. Mm-hmm. I'm bad at it.
I've never really tried it.
We'd probably be a horrible team.
Yeah, I feel like the pressure might get to me.
We'd shut down.
We'd shut down and know
we'd
nothing.
Shut down immediately.
Or we'd feel like we have the answer, but we don't want to like risk that public humiliation of
so
being
wrong. So
we
just wouldn't. Yeah.
So we would just be quiet. And then after we'd be like, damn it, I should have said something.
I thought I had it.
I experienced public humiliation today. Maybe I'll share it.
What happened?
Should I share?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So I was in this big like Zoom webinar with like all these people, like 50 plus people. It was put on by like University of Washington people, Seattle's Children's Hospital people. It was like a big deal.
You're a big deal.
No, I wasn't putting it on. I was just one of the people.
Participants.
And so they put us in these breakout rooms, you know, you have this assignment and they're like, have someone take notes and report out, you know how they do that.
Okay. Yeah.
And I never volunteer, but I've been feeling very confident with things lately.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'll take notes. I'll report out, which is new
Why
for
not?
Me. That's a new behavior.
Yeah.
Never fucking again. I'll tell you that. So our task was we had to watch this video. It was these actors portraying like a counseling session where race is brought up.
Oh,
and we had to like break it down and like talk about what we observed and like what could be done better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the people in the group noticed that the person portraying the therapist like didn't seem very welcoming at all. Like that could have been an area of improvement that could be improved. For example, someone in the group suggested they could have stood up to welcome the person and they come in, blah, 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 blah. And so I go to report this out. And the like leader of the training person says, oh, you may not have noticed, but the actor portraying the therapist actually uses braces to walk. And so, yeah. You see your face right now? That was me.
Oh, but that hurts so bad.
And so getting up would have been challenging. And, you know, we need to be careful. We're not being ableist. And I've just
oh my gosh, they actually said that.
I mean, this is how I felt at that moment. Like, this was my emotional experience.
Well, okay, and super rude I wasn't there. I can say that super rude as a, I don't know, a speaker. Like if somebody says something, like you gently kind of guide them, but you don't shame them for it.
Well, and I felt bad, and you know, and I didn't. I could have like said like, hey, that wasn't my idea. I was just a reporter. I didn't do that. I just said, oh, we hadn't noticed that, like trying to be a member of the group. Yeah.
Well, and maybe if you,
and thank you for sharing, you know, yeah, I was trying like, to be very like diplomatic.
If you are asking us for our observations, then
take, but I honestly felt like shit after that.
They should have told you ahead of time, here's the background information on this case.
No, I felt like absolute shit because I try so hard to be sensitive. Like that's my my jam. Like language is so important.
Did they make this video?
Inclusion is so important. Yes, they made
it. I was about to say they sound like personally attached to it. Like they actually
they made the video.
Okay. So they didn't actually want your guys' feedback on it that was negative. I mean, I don't know. I probably would have picked that up, but been a little cautious.
So that was my public shame moment of the day.
Oh gosh.
And I tried to own it without throwing people under the bus. But I felt like shit. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't something I even like thought of. Like it wasn't on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to keep everything on your radar. And that's the challenge of trying to be a sensitive woke person today, is there's so much, it's so vast. And like, I get really into like one area and like feel like I'm doing pretty good there, but then I forget ableism.
But that's like a piece of information you need. Like you're not, it wasn't the client, it was the counselor. And so there's no way you could have known at all. It wasn't disclosed to you, the counselor.
Oh my God, you're making me feel better.
Like I think that they should have disclosed that, because there's no way that you could have known that. And I think that if you didn't bring that up, that would almost be worse, just because that, yes, like getting up and being able to be warm and inviting is a counseling skill. So the fact that they didn't do that, like it's okay that there's a reason why they didn't, but that doesn't mean that you don't make the observation.
And it was so outside of what our task was, which was really kind of trying to nail the therapist to the wall of
what
they could have been doing better. See? Like that was the assignment.
So to me, like that's what the point was. And it's
okay. So much better.
It's
I felt
okay.
like shit for like a straight hour.
It's okay that they had
and didn't
that,
speak
that,
up
that they didn't stand up for whatever reason. And they just didn't need to shame you for it.
And then my next breakout room, I'm like, I am not taking notes. I am not reporting out.
Okay. So if people say if you misuse a pronoun for someone and you say she, for example, and that's not the pronoun that they use, then
you should just apologize.
You apologize,
repeat it correctly, and move on.
Yeah. And most of the time, people are very understanding and like accept the apology and move forward. They don't shame you for it. And if they do shame you for it, then you probably did something.
I felt
worse
shame,
than
Macy.
I'm mad shame. At them for that. Who was it? Give me their email.
I'll DM you later. <All right.
laughs> I'll get him. The enforcer.
Yeah. I mean, I was like I was sweaty in my armpits after that.
That's not a good position to make somebody feel.
No, especially when I was really trying to move out of my comfort zone and be the person that takes more space in these things. Usually I don't.
Yeah.
You know, for that reason, because I don't want to step in it.
It'd be different if you did say like, well, even if they couldn't stand up, that, you know, like if you made some sort of statement that further like, oh, you're actually being an ableist, but you clearly weren't, you had no idea.
Right. But now, believe you me, I'm going to be like having that on my radar.
But if you're a counselor, you're going to know that.
Giant at this point.
You're going to know that your peer can't stand up to go and greet the client.
No, I think you're right.
What scenario would this actually happen in other than a video? True. It's not realistic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel better.
They got defensive because they felt on guard about the feedback, probably protecting someone they care about. So
that inside or information.
Hurt people.
You know, when I watch the video again, you know, the first thing I'm going to be doing is trying to look for those arm braces, though.
I mean, I didn't want to say that, but I was like, if you said that in the meeting, then yes, you probably should have been shamed. I'm surprised it took you long to say that. But I mean,
I try to be open on here. If yeah. I could benefit one other person that goes through awkward things on a daily basis.
Please like rewatch the video and let me know, because I want to know. Because I, you know, I know some counselors who will lie to cover up their own mistakes.
Not me. I want to lean in.
Not you.
A little bit. Not like so I fall in, but like a little bit.
You fell in today.
I fell in today.
Okay. I know we got way off track of your topic.
Okay. And I'm sweaty again. Oh, and my turtleneck is too tight.
I want to tell you, I'm having no cord issues because I bought a new cable. I wish I would have just done that like 6 months ago.
You held your cord in your hand to reduce hum for 6 months.
I know, like literally balancing on my thumb because I didn't want to spend the $12 on a new cable.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Okay, back to the Zoot Suit Riots. So this is night one. The sailors stormed into a theater. They grabbed Mexican-Americans and kick the hell out of them, beat them up. Two of the victims were only 12 and 13 years old, and they were beaten up. They were targeted, you know, because of race, ethnicity, and also these Zoot Suits. So if they saw the Zoot Suits, they took them and beat them up. The following night, the sailors took the fight beyond downtown and into the heart of LA's oldest Mexican American neighborhoods, into East LA to seek out victims. So once they were in the barrio, the sailors attacked any Mexican in their path. No longer were they just targeting those wearing Zoot Suits. Truckloads of sailors and civilians now were joining in.
So now they're just blatantly discriminating and
yes. So going into their community, truckloads. Mm. And so,
wow.
And being confronted by big groups of young men ready to fight with bats. Mm-hmm. So another reason the Zoot Suits were hated, it was kind of seen as like the opposite of this patriotic military movement.
Okay.
Because that was like a rationing on fabric and things, because all that had to go to the war effort. And these Zoot Suits were like
kind of this bold fabric statement. Yeah.
It was a lot of extra fabric, but I don't know if that was an intentional political statement behind people or if it was just fashion. I couldn't like mm-hmm. find any info on that.
And like really how much extra? I mean,
well, what I heard is they would buy suits that were too big for them and then just mm-hmm. tailor them in.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what they look fit. Like. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that can be considered a waste of fabric, but that was kind of how it was seen. And it sort of reminded me of now how like something is taken that might not be political and has turned mm-hmm. political. I mean, look at the environment we're in right now. Like a lot of weird things that you wouldn't think would be political have become political.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, nobody does. So on the fifth day of the riots, 5,000 civilians showed up to assist the sailors. 5,000.
Wow.
And it was really looked at as assisting in the war effort. So
they became mm-hmm. demonized as the enemy.
Like we're assisting in the war effort, because it was put out there by the media and everybody that the Pachucos had taken over LA.
So some slur campaigns. Slur? Is that what I meant? I don't know what I meant. Slander?
Slander.
Slander.
I think slander is spoken, libel is written.
Okay, okay.
Now the riots were national news. And so once it became national, mm-hmm. the Marines were sent in to clean up the town. So once the Marines came in, there was this ritual that just became repeated over and over across the city. So the servicemen would find the boys that were wearing the Zoot Suits, strip them, either down to their underwear or naked, you know, beat them up and then burn their clothes in the street. So there's images
so
you can look up. where they're in the street, sitting there, undressed. Like, how fucking vulnerable and shameful, yeah, is that? And then, like, wow, these fires of the clothes,
like right literally taking. That's, I mean, again, if clothing and fabric is hard to get, my guess is it's expensive.
Yeah, so, like, how does that even make sense?
Yeah, so now you're gonna burn it, and they have, I mean, you just took something that probably they spent their money.
I didn't
on.
Even think about that. Like, if the whole point is we need the fabric, why cost. Are you fucking burning it? Like, yeah, take it and make it into it. A soldier tent or whatever it is that you needed it for. A backpack. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, a med station, perhaps.
Yeah. A parachute. I don't know.
Parachute and a zoot suit.
I didn't even think about that, though. That's a good point, Macy.
Thanks.
So what's the LAPD doing during this week?
Also attacking?
Nothing.
Oh, no.
They're nothing. Doing nothing. They're doing nothing. Mm-hmm. They held back during the entire week of confrontation. They never tried to stop it. And they would only show up after the riot had swept through an area. And then they only showed up to arrest the Pachucos and throw them in jail. So after the threat is passed, the sailors were picked up by the LAPD. Were they arrested?
No.
No, correct. Correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Trivia.
They were taken and dropped off a few blocks away and told to get back to their ship. Not one sailor was arrested.
Wow.
But leaders did realize that having these unruly servicemen during wartime disobeying orders because they'd been told not to go out and do stuff and they're disobeying, that was understood as not a good thing to have, because you want your servicemen to be obedient.
Yes.
I mean, they're about to go off to war. We can't have rogue servicemen. That just doesn't work for the
starting fights, you know,
the
it's
model.
It's an image problem. Yeah.
Well, and you want them to take orders, you know, like go do this dangerous thing. So military leaders declared the city off limits to servicemen.
Mm.
And that is actually the move that ended the riots.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Got rid of the conflict altogether.
Yeah, because weird. Like, was that the source of the problem, perhaps?
Some pent-up aggression.
So zoot suits were banned from being worn in LA on the streets.
Oh.
It was punishable by a 30-day jail term.
What? Like, what? I don't
understand. The presence of zoot suit incited such upsetness in the people, especially among the white Los Angeles, like seeing that, like they were fearful. They were like, this is a symbol of menace, and rebellion.
And I'm so angry. You need to go to jail now.
I'm so scared. Yeah,
I can't.
It's fear-based.
Regulate my own emotions well enough to handle you wearing such a stylish outfit.
Ironically, the 17 kids that had gone to prison for the murder of Jose Diaz had not been a part of the worst violence in LA history. They had been receiving special treatment in prison, such as getting ice cream, because Hollywood stars, including Rita Hayworth, had been working on an appeal.
Oh.
Because their story had gotten out and they had all this celebrity support. After 2 years, Hank and the other boys were set free. Hank, ever his own person, walked out of the courtroom wearing a zoot suit. Remember Lorena, the girlfriend?
The girlfriend, yeah.
So on her deathbed, she revealed she had never told anyone what happened at the party, partly because, you know, that was the code to not snitch, and partly because it was her brother, Lewis, that was involved.
Oh, okay.
But the Sleepy Lagoon murder is officially unsolved.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
In Los Angeles today, on this day, it is still illegal to wear a zoot suit.
No way. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
What?
And that's my topic, zoot suit riot.
That's crazy. Okay, so it's actually like if I went out there and wore a little zoot suit,
I don't know if it'd be enforced. But it's a lot. Do you know
how many other types of weird outfits are out there? There's no fabric shortages. Am I going to incite violence? Is someone going to beat me up for being in a zoot suit?
I don't know if a sailor's going to come jump you.
My sister is a sailor. She would not jump me.
Well,
goodness. Wow, interesting. I never knew.
It was so interesting to research that because I'd heard of this thing, but like I knew nothing.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for my topic?
I'm so ready.
Okay. I tried to pick something a little spookier.
Ooh, because it's spooky. Almost October. October. Tomorrow. It's October. Tomorrow.
So I tried to pick something spooky and it again led to a story, which everything seems to. So
I know. It's so interesting.
It is. Okay. Do you know about when you were a kid, did you ever like dare other kids or have other kids dare you to go to the bathroom mirror and say Bloody Mary 3 times?
Yes. Or Candyman in later life. Like I think I was in my 20s at that point.
So I brought it up to my dad today and he's like, I've never like I've heard of it, but I didn't know it was actually a thing that like kids made kids do.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, yes. Who is a small child being like,
did you do it?
Bathroom. I'm sure I did it a couple of times, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's like slumber party life.
It is. No, totally slumber parties. It's like you go down the hall and like everyone's like and then you end up only doing it twice and you say you did 3 times.
No, I never would. And then you leave. It.
Yeah, I probably did it twice.
I mean, I don't probably think I even looked in a mirror after Candyman.
I
watched that movie.
So terrified of, because like it was this big like I know I had no idea what to even like what does that even mean really. Bloody Mary,
what does it mean? Are you gonna tell us?
Bloody woman coming through the mirror or something that's gonna attack me.
Like, I had horrible slumber party experiences, so that in itself is a topic. I was always the one waking up in the morning with fucking Sharpie mustache or
oh really
like horrible words written on my
what
forehead.
What kind of friends do you have? Oh wait, the what girls in the photo you showed us that went to jail in reform school.
Exactly. Yes.
Got it. Okay. So I was looking this up because I just remember that from my own childhood and being like, yeah, that like was a weird thing that we did. So you know nothing about the backstory of that?
No, I mean, I'm sure it's like based off of the British Mary person that like killed people. But other than that, I don't know any facts.
So it is behind, and I'll tell you a little bit about who she is that you're talking about. It sounds like a scary story, but it's actually kind of a sad story. There is scary in there. Don't get me wrong. She murders a bunch of people, but as queens do, but
off with her head.
It kind of comes from a sad place, but really. So the do you want to walk through what the like if someone said to go do that, yes. What that would look like? Why don't you walk through that
but
with us?
First, don't make me go do it. I just have to say it because I won't because I'm too scared. I'm a scared person.
Maybe that's a best bits sometime.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So just kind of walk them through that. While you do that, I'm going to go use the bathroom fast.
Wait, no, I have to. I don't know it.
No. Just about how, like what that.
I'll talk about what happened to me after Candyman. That's what people. Because yeah, it's similar. Ahead. I think it's a similar thing.
And okay, talk about friends and the pressure around that too, because it's a thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, this isn't slumber party life because I was a full grown adult in my 20s when the Candyman movie came out, but it was so scary to me. And I did get made fun of because other people didn't think it was scary, but I really thought it was very scary. And there was a lot of dares to go into the bathroom and say the Candyman, how many times you're supposed to do it. And there was no way. In fact, when I went to go pee during that time, I didn't even look in the mirror, let alone say a Candyman. I mean, I really wanted to just like cover the mirrors like I'm sitting Shiva, you know, but couldn't do that because, you know, people like to look in the mirror. But it was very scary to me. And I think mirrors are scary in and of themselves. Actually, I'm going to write that down as a future topic. I know Macy doesn't like me to take notes and make lists, but that's how I like come up with all this stuff. I have so much stuff on my list. Maybe message me and tell me which things on my list you would like to hear.
Hey,
I'm going to give three examples. Macy's back. Left Eye Lopez, dash cams, and hoarders. Three things on my list of many things. So if any of those sound interesting, let me know.
For your topics?
Yeah, I just added a topic.
Cool.
Mirrors.
Mirrors. Ooh, that's mirrors a good topic. Mirrors are scary. Yeah. And I think that's probably where part of this comes from is maybe some of that mirror piece, but we're not going to get into mirrors today. So, okay. So basically with Bloody Mary, the concept is a ghost will appear of Bloody Mary, often holding a dead baby.
Oh.
Or promising to come after yours.
Ooh.
So I never heard that part of it.
I hadn't either.
As a kid. But that is kind of the background lore of it.
The baby element makes it extra creepy.
Yes. And that's where I think this is more sad than scary. So, okay. So the whole concept is kind of fabricated as far as Bloody Mary coming out at you. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't know who's died from doing this. Maybe a lot of people have. I actually have no idea.
Is that the thing? If you do it, you'll die?
Well, yeah, that she will either take your baby or kill you.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't like either of those options.
No. Okay. So she's actually a royal figure. She was Queen Mary I, the first regnant queen of England. So she was born in 1516 in Greenwich, England, at the Palace of Placentia.
That sounds like placenta.
I know it does. The only child of King Henry and Catherine of Aragon, which sounds like Lord of the
Aragon.
Mary's lifetime of shame over her femininity began at the young age of 17 when her father annulled his marriage to her mother because they didn't have a male heir. He was frustrated. This left a young Mary very separate from her mother, had no contact, and was forbidden from visiting her mother.
Mm.
The king went on to marry his now ex-wife's best friend.
Oh, harsh.
Anne Boleyn, who...
Oh, I know that name.
Do you? Okay, yeah.
I think that was a movie.
Okay, yeah. Who disappointed him with another daughter, Elizabeth.
How dare she?
Right? Worried that Mary might interfere with Elizabeth's succession, Boleyn pressed Parliament to declare Mary illegitimate and succeeded. So, yeah, salty. I want to show you really quick Mary's face.
You see Mary's face?
There's Mary.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, this should be Mary. No, this is Anne. This is Anne Boleyn. Okay. Anne Boleyn. And then there we go. There's Mary's face.
Oh,
yeah. Kind of scary. Kind of scary face.
She looks serious about life.
Very serious about life. Yeah. Anne actually looks kind of sweet, perhaps. I don't know. With her face.
Her features are smaller.
This is true.
That means sweet.
It does in my discriminatory facial look. How careful you're being. I'm like, she's got a mean face. You're like, maybe
I was publicly shamed today for being ableist, so maybe. I'm like proceeding lightly.
All right, I'll stop then. Okay, so Boleyn was actually beheaded later on by her husband for treason. That's probably why she was in a movie of some kind. But by this time, the damage to Mary's name had been done. So since her teen years, Mary was really plagued with terrible menstrual pains and irregularity in her cycles, which later attributed to physical and psychological stress in life.
I feel her.
So it's kind of making, as some of these pieces were coming up, I'm like, okay, like for how, especially back then and even now, of how people viewed periods and menstrual, and issues with pregnancy and needing a male heirs. Like there's so much pressure around.
Yeah. Like it'd be a women. Her problem.
Yeah, exactly. Like fertility stuff. Like it's all about her.
Rather than an us problem.
That's so much pressure, so much psychological pressure, especially knowing that like having an heir can literally make.
I had the worst cramps of my life on Monday, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. I almost called into work, which I've never done really? For that reason. Like I thought I was going to throw up. It was so bad.
That's not good.
But I took two Tylenol and then after a few hours, it went away.
Good.
I'm glad. And I was glad I didn't waste some PTO.
Yeah. I don't like to use that PTO either. So, okay. So she would get like, and this makes me think that there's other mental health stuff going on as well. She gets stuck in like big, deep bouts of melancholia, depressive episodes that kind of would stay for periods of time. Despite all of this, Mary did eventually take the throne in 1553. And at the age of 37, promptly married Philip of Spain, who I believe was like...
It's interesting that these same names just keep getting used over and over.
Philip,
because there's like a Philip now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the same, and like
a couple of them age
thing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So her goal was to conceive an heir, and this is actually where the origin of Bloody Mary begins to take shape.
Ooh.
So starved for love, forever seeking the approval of her father, Mary would replay this codependent pattern with her new husband, whom she would try to like lavish her emotions and her feelings on, and they weren't returned. He was 10 years. Mary. He's 10 years younger than her. So let's see. She's 37. So he's 27.
God, 37 back then was probably like 90 now.
Yeah. I mean, you saw her undiscriminatory face. Yeah, she had a really hard time. I don't know why, not exciting him.
I feel sorry for her
feelings. She was
probably cheating left and right also at the same time, because that was accepted back then for men.
Like, yeah,
yeah, you could like
again in her furs,
like have her a bunch furs. Oh
yeah,
the fashion was different then.
It was very different.
I'm like, what am I looking at?
There's shoulder like
pads and safety pins
all match her hair.
Hey, that's what Maya does today.
Yeah
it look does. How my hair color exactly matches my turtleneck.
It does. Very interesting. I actually really like the color combo.
Not planned.
So Philip fulfilled his negotiated duties as royal marriage should.
Oh my gosh.
And 2 months later, Mary's greatest wish came true. She was with child.
Ooh. Was it a boy?
Ooh. So she began swelling in her stomach and her breasts. Her abdomen was growing. However, the public remained really suspicious of the queen's good fortune because she was so old and it had because she all of a sudden was pregnant. And it didn't take long for these rumors of a false pregnancy to start spreading farther and farther. They thought she was faking it.
Was she faking? Oh God, Macy, what's going to happen?
Okay, so there's no pregnancy test back then, and
there's no sticky pee on.
Doctors weren't allowed in this time to actually, and I didn't know this, to examine a sitting monarch. They were not allowed.
Oh.
So there's no verification that could be done.
Okay, so she could be padding or just eating a lot of food to create this pregnancy look.
Until then, the people of England and Spain kind of just watched whenever she'd come out, and we're kind of keeping tabs. They waited. Customary fashion is that the queen would then go to a private chamber 6 weeks before the due date and would be kind of in seclusion at that point. The big day arrived. The baby didn't.
This reminds me of Mary Toft and her rabbits.
Both she and servants around her propose that perhaps there's a miscalculation with the delivery date. So maybe now that's what's to blame. Maybe it was a month later, not the month they thought it was.
So nobody sees her naked?
So there are reports that she was physically breast swollen, stomach swollen, and experiencing just general symptoms of pregnancy.
Which can be psychosomatic, though. I watched Dr. Phil.
Yes. So
I mean, not as so much since your topic, but I have I've seen the like psychosomatic pregnancy episodes where like the stomach is big.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah. So false reports now all of a sudden start spreading all over, claiming that they did deliver a boy. Others said that the child died in childbirth, that that maybe she actually had a tumor instead of being pregnant. So
couldn't she at least produce a rabbit?
No rabbit. Despite the world of gossip around her, in May, her belly began to shrink.
Oh, no.
Unable to explain or understand what was happening to her body, she continued to wait and slowly started losing hope. So this actually had a big psychological impact on her. She wanted this pregnancy so badly.
Poor Mary.
So June and July came and went. Her doctors extended the birth date further and further as instructed. By August, Mary finally left the confines of her chamber. So
after she's pregnant for 2 years.
And she's been in. So at this point, she's been in there for months in the confined pregnancy chamber, childless and alone. She believed that God was punishing her for failing in a mission she set out to achieve just months
later. How do you walk out of that room without a baby?
That's
a lot of pressure.
Because everyone, I'm physically pregnant. And there's no way to prove that at that time.
Can you imagine if she was on Instagram the whole time documenting
her pregnancy? Oh, God. Whew. Thank goodness. And could you imagine how many headless people there would be?
So many headless people.
So at the time of Mary's pregnancy, the people of England were really divided at this point between Protestants and Catholics. So Mary, determined to unite her people under a quote, true religion, took action by signing an act shortly before Christmas in 1554. That would result in the Marian persecutions, which was about an estimated 240 men, 60 women who were sentenced as Protestants and burned at the stake, earning her the name Bloody Mary.
So she put some rage out there.
Yeah. So she had this very, her own trauma, loss, grief, and then tied in with her feeling like she needs to unite her people in some strong way. She then burned over 300 people.
I mean, we talk about pivoting that emotion to action.
Not in that way.
I mean, we would never be like,
we wouldn't, you know,
kill a whole bunch of people.
But maybe her,
it probably confidants. Was therapeutic in some way for her. So, gave her some control.
Yeah. I mean, to this day, the tale of Bloody Mary, because that December, I mean, wasn't that long after that she did that. Bloody Mary, Queen of England, remains one of the most infamous cases of supposed pseudocesis, which is phantom pregnancy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pseudocesis.
And I could say that pseudocesis. It looks like pseudocesis. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a rare condition, but put it simply, when you think a lot about pregnancy and you have a lot of stress about pregnancy, the appearance of physical symptoms and even a discontinuation of the menstrual cycle can happen.
The mind is powerful.
Yeah. There was another possibility in Mary's case where it could be endometrial hyperplasia. which is a precursor to like uterine cancer. And they said that she had a history of reporting low appetite and that lifelong history of menstrual irregularity. They're saying they could have been a medical issue too.
Well, that would probably help explain why she had trouble getting pregnant. Yeah. But honestly, if her hubby only did it to her once, like that,
it's yeah,
and tough to get pregnant with one shot deal.
And she's like giving him all this love and affection and trying to like make it more than it is. And he gives her one shot. You got to know she is wishing every part of her being into making that pregnancy like happen.
This is one that's going to count. So go swimmers, go.
To me, like even if there was a physical thing going on, I can't see how psychological stress wouldn't play a role.
Yes, I agree.
So years later,
Mary, so now I'm feeling sorry for her.
Yeah. So there's like, I don't think the murders are good. She, definitely bad, but,
murder is bad.
Murder is bad. Yeah. Okay. So years later, Mary announces herself pregnant again, although this time, even her own husband isn't convinced.
Oh no.
Assured by the signs of pregnancy.
Because how old again, is she at this time?
So this is a year, years later. So my guess is a couple of years later based on.
Okay. Getting pregnant at that age at that time was probably like unheard of.
She was 41.
Yeah. That was probably like now being pregnant at like 80 or something.
So, yeah. So at age 41, she had signs of pregnancy.
That's just an estimate.
But it didn't, she did not deliver a baby, and she was later to confirm to have entered
menopause.
Yeah. So twice she got so stressed about it that she had physical symptoms from it.
God, or can't you just adopt at this point?
Right.
But so, no, because you need that lineage, right?
And then here's the next thing. So she died the next year.
Oh, Mary.
Age 42.
Well, I've been watching a lot of Handmaid's Tale.
Oh yeah,
it's warped me a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I mean, the solution in that world was like just start screwing other people and get pregnant.
Yeah,
via them.
But you have to pass on the blood of right. The heir.
But who's gonna know?
That's true. That is very Handmaid's Tale of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and back then too, who would know?
Yeah, yeah. But if she is, I don't know.
Maybe she didn't think of it.
I don't know. She also, so they said that probably she died of uterine or ovarian cancer.
Oh, so definitely a link to some troubles down there.
Yeah. So this is where that story comes from of Bloody Mary. And I think so many people do that as kids, or at least used to. I don't know if they still do that. Probably not. And have no idea the backstory.
I don't know what they do.
It'd be interesting like to ask high schoolers or middle schoolers, probably maybe middle school.
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know any teenage... I mean, I feel like it would be more girls that'd be doing that.
Yeah, girls, slumber parties. But I don't know.
I don't have a link right now.
Who has slumber parties anymore? They just play video games together.
Well, my son had one, but I don't think they were doing Bloody Mary.
No.
I think they were playing video games.
In person, that's at least a,
Yeah.
So that is the story of Bloody Mary, the queen of England who.
So what's the ritual though? What do you do for the game?
You go into the bathroom, you have to turn off the light, close the door, stare in the mirror and say Bloody Mary three times. And then she would appear and kill you. Yeah, that's how I remember it being told to me versus something about a baby.
Why would anybody do that if that's the outcome? Like, because do this and you'll be killed.
It's kind of like a, it's like a dare.
Like a dare.
Yeah. Like this would be do people even play truth or dare anymore? Like truth or dare?
Oh, I used to do truth or dare a lot.
I know. Like truth or dare. And then sometimes a dare would turn into a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. That's the evolution of the dare.
Yeah. Truth or dare. That's a topic. Goodness.
That is. I mean, truth... I never felt like that was threatening because you could just lie. I mean that's that apparently my interpretation of truth is lie. But a dare, like, you have to do it in front of everybody.
Yeah, that's,
or you go in a closet and do it.
You always find a way to choose truth. I don't think I ever got like pinned in a corner to pick dare, because like really it's just like I get to pick.
Yeah, I mean, dare could be anything. Like, you don't want to go there. That's risky. No.
Yeah, it's really just truth, 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 or truth.
Yeah, truth, which is can be a lie. So yeah, convenient.
Exactly. I mean,
because nobody can read my mind, thank God.
Yeah, truth or do you want to play a truth or dare round right now?
Okay.
Truth or dare?
I'll do dare. Just because I said I'd never do it.
And I dare you to go into the bathroom and turn off the light and say Bloody Mary 3 times. That. Go.
You know what? I'm going to do it.
You have
What are you going to do?
You have to. It's a dare. No, you get to ask me the same question. Yeah, I'm going to narrate your experience.
What? You're coming with me?
No.
Should I bring the laptop?
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's all plugged in, though.
No, never mind. You can't do it. It's fine.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be honest.
If you don't come back.
No, I'm going to be honest and do it. So okay. I say Bloody Mary 3 times, look in the mirror in the dark.
Yeah, if you don't come back, I'm fine.
Wait, how do you look in the mirror if it's dark? Like, none of this is making sense anymore. You
walk in, know the direction of the mirror, and turn the light off. Okay, go. Stop being so nervous.
Go. Okay, here we go. Okay. I'm not nervous. I actually feel very bold right now.
You're so bold.
Which is usually the sign that I'm about to go down hard.
She's about to do something stupid. That's what that means. Okay, I hear her. Her bathroom's like right next to... Okay, yep, she's in. I heard the light there turn on. I think that was off. Okay. Silence. Let's see. She's back.
Nothing happened.
Bella
heard me and now she's coming. So that's probably the scariest part of this, because I had to run into her really quick because she's so cute. And if she sneaks in, like, it's hard to get rid of her. Now she's outside the door.
Were you hesitant at all doing it, or did you feel brave?
Here's my experience. I went in, I turned off the light, I looked in the mirror, I said it 3 times. And right before I said it the third time, I did have this moment of, is this a mistake? Am I about to die? But then I said it anyway,
and
I waited for a second.
Maybe it's a delayed thing.
Nothing happened. And then I heard Stella going, Nana, 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 and running. And I'm like, oh God, I got to get out of here.
Well, I'm glad
that I hide from my grandchild.
Sometimes. But that's okay. All right. Until next time.
Oh my God. Wait. We got to our disturber meter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do yours first. Mine first.
Bloody Mary, I'm going to say an adult me 3.
Okay.
And just with the actual history stuff and pregnancy stuff attached. But a child me, the one that never actually said all 3 of them in the mirror, probably like an 8 or 9, because I wouldn't do it.
Should we put it in the middle then? And put like a 6?
I said an 8 or... Oh, yeah. That works. Yeah.
Like in the middle?
Yeah.
I think you should try it later.
I'm not doing that by myself.
I just did. You made me.
You're not by yourself. I'm here.
Well, like, who's going to rescue me? A 2-year-old?
I will come and get you. I'll be there in 6 hours. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to say a 4. Because 4? I think
you just did it. Yeah.
I think that... By myself, it's less scary, actually, but I get scared up, you know, when it's like the scared hype thing.
Yeah.
And I can see that, like, at some point I wouldn't even be able to do it. I'd be like frozen in fear and not even do it.
I kind of feel like knowing the backstory softens the blow a bit too, because like it was this whole thing of like, where does this even come from? What is like, you just don't know.
That's true. If she appeared, I'd be like, I'm so sorry. And then she wouldn't kill me, maybe.
Yeah, maybe she'd show up and like with her little ghost baby and her little phantom baby would be there. And she would say,
that's
like,
why she takes the baby, because she wants the baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. So if you do it, maybe if you have like a baby doll with you and like give it, maybe she'd rest in peace forever.
Oh, we need to give a baby doll to Bloody Mary.
I'm going to try it again later that way.
And maybe we can call her by her real name in that moment.
What's her real name?
Well, Elizabeth. right? No, Mary. Sorry, it was sorry, Mary. But not say Bloody Mary. Sorry.
No, yeah, because that's not nice.
Yeah.
We would unless just say she likes name. It. I mean, she might like that. I don't know.
Probably not with all the menstrual issues her whole
yeah,
life.
Probably not.
Knowing us as we do. Your topic. Okay.
What was my topic? I already forgot. Oh, Zoot Suit Riots.
Zoot Suits. Zoot Suit Riots.
I'm going to say a 6. Oops. Because I think that even though in the riots, nobody died that I found, like, I think the effects of that are still continuing, and probably many people have died since then because of the effects of that racism.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, can I do a, I'm going to say 7 because Zoot Suits are outlawed still. Like, I don't understand that. Like, that's disturbing to me that a Zoot Suit is still outlawed. Like, obviously we haven't learned any lessons.
Like, why are people afraid of a suit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Makes no sense.
No sense. Okay. Until next time.
I need a moment.
Okay. Here's mine. Until next time. Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. I'm not in a mirror. It's okay.
But is this sort of a mirror that you're looking at?
Oh my God, it is a reflection, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh gosh. Why would and then you and do I that? Have her picture right up to the right.
Why
my
would
heart
you
jumped.
Do that?
I'm gonna that was scary because her picture was on my monitor. That I looked and it was scary.
Until next time. Lean into the discomfort, unless you lean so far that you fall in and drown. And then that's too far.
There is such thing as perfect discomfort. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.